All right, welcome back to Potapalooza 2009 live on EA Radio. Up here, we're broadcasting from the Honda Forums Plaza number 4. And not everybody could be here this year. Last year, you may remember that we had Will and Dave on a remote link because they couldn't make it. But we've got some podcasters from much farther distances away who sent us an audio file and want to say hi. This is Plain Crazy Down Under.
Well, good day, folks. I'm Steve Fisher, and I'm speaking to you from a small office somewhere way, way south. In fact, Grant, how far south are we?
Well, mate, we are approximately 8,400 nautical miles down and round the corner from Oshkosh. Mate, I really wish we were over there. I would love to be in Oshkosh at the moment, enduring the elements, watching the sights, seeing the people, drinking the beers, and showing them how to cook barbecue Australian style.
I think we could just stop at drinking beers, Grant, wouldn't you think? I think we do that a lot better than the Americans, surely.
Oh, totally, mate.
Well, we're being pretty brave with our comments here, mate.
Yeah, well, we are a very long way away, and hey, we're pretty brave in cyberspace. In fact, if everyone wants to find out just how brave we normally are in cyberspace, tune on up to the podcast.
That's right, folks. Come and join us at Plain Crazy Down Under, Australia's and possibly the world's newest aviation podcast.
www.plaincrazydownunder.com.
PCDU on Twitter. And every good aviation podcast has to have a catchy sign or phrase. What was that phrase we came up with, Grant?
Don't forget, folks, it's what's down under that counts.
Have a great time at Oshkosh, folks. Wish we could be there if you get a bit of spare time. Boot up iTunes, give us a listen, and leave some comments on our website. We'd appreciate it. Cheers.
Cheers, folks. Have a great time. We'll have a few beers down here for you.
All right, well, thanks for playing Crazy Down Under, guys. Now, I know you guys are out there probably listening on the live stream on the Internet. Just so you know, we have a rule that whoever is on the remote feed one year is absolutely required to be in person the following year.
That's
so
right.
Start making your plans to be here next year, guys.
And they must fly.
So
buy a big plane.
Yeah, buy that 380.
If I could just jump in here and say that is really a fun podcast. They've only done 3 or 4 episodes, but they have done 3 or 4. That's the trick. It's a certain level of difficulty to do one, but to do the second one is a lot harder, and to do the third and fourth is a sign that they maybe are going to stick around. And the first few are really fun to listen to, so I urge people to take a look at it or listen to it.
Speaking of which, how does everybody like the new annual format of the PilotCast?
So I want to know, we're talking about your airplanes here. Anybody here fly light sport, LSAs? Anybody?
Nobody. One.
Yeah? I'm sorry.
I got Steve, too.
You got a microphone. Tell us about you fly light sport today, didn't you?
This has been an interesting year through the efforts of a number of people, not the least of whom is Rod Rakic of my transponder. Social media, new media has gotten... I showed up at Oshkosh not expecting to fly anything. I've been on 2 flights. More to the point, to answer your question, I flew the Remos GX today. First time up in a light sport, and it was really interesting.
Tell us about it. What was it like to fly?
It was the guys. To fly at Oshkosh is yet another thing. It'll outclimb a Cessna 172. It'll outclimb a Cirrus, and you have the opportunity to look out the left window and see a 172 and a Cirrus among the 6 airplanes in the windshield or out the window and see that you're out climbing them. It was it's center stick with a throttle in the middle. So even though you're left seat, you fly left hand with right hand on the throttle. It flies like a small airplane. It's touchy. It's sensitive. But it gets up. It goes. We stalled the thing to a falling leaf, and it felt very well under control. And just real interesting. I mean, I flew 152s for part of my primary training, not unlike that, but with much better avionics, and the performance was just stellar.
Was there a lot or enough room in the cockpit? Feels like it might be small in there.
It was no smaller than a 172. Some of the nice things about aircraft that are essentially designed, you know, ab initio as LSAs, or that have been designed, you know, not on the model of the 152 or of some of the other aircraft, is you've got access to composite technology. Some people don't like the egg shape of the fuselage, but the kind of the egg-shaped and the more rounded lines that the composites construction methods make available make for a very roomy cockpit. In fact, I am short of leg and found myself having to really kind of reach on the toes. I guess, number one, tall person could fit in that airplane fairly easily, even one with you know, normal length of legs. And, you know, there's plenty of elbow room. The center console, there's more than enough elbow room. I was able to pass the camera around the cockpit and the audio recorder and all that stuff. So it was remarkable.
Egg is not the anatomical feature that I usually compare it to, but point well taken. There was another LSA pilot out here someplace. Where were you? Right over here. Oops, run over here. What do you fly?
Right now, Cessna 152s, but that's because the place where I was at, somebody else broke the Evector Sports Star, so I kind of switched over.
So that Sports Star, that's an LSA?
Yep.
What's that like? Describe it to us.
Steve Tupper really nailed it. It's got the 912 on the front, and it just climbs like a homesick angel.
So you've flown 152s and that one. How do you compare the two?
Love the Sports Star. Do not like the 152. It's like a pig.
Really?
Yeah, I actually got a chance to fly. Oh, geez. I got a chance to fly the Sports Star here a couple of years ago, and I agree. It's a really neat little airplane, and it's got some of the best harmonized controls of any plane I've flown. I mean, you grab that stick, and it just feels perfectly natural.
But something else about the Remos is I had a chance to fly it last year, and one thing it does, too, is it gets down and stopped real quick. I mean, you land and you're stopped at 250 feet or something like that. It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. So, nice short.
When I transitioned into the LSA, one of the things they trained you about is the fact that they're lighter and have less inertia. As a result, they'll slow down. And, of course, the important issue there is they slow down faster when you're in a stall situation. But I can imagine the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's fun. Wasn't there one other LSA hand? I thought there was another one. No? What other kinds of airplanes? Anybody here fly ultralights? Really? Okay. Anybody fly helicopters? We got the helicopter guy. We talked to you already. Anybody else fly helicopters? All right. Gliders? They're all afraid to raise their hand.
Was anyone flying anything other than a 172?
You know, I'd actually like to hear. I happen to know that Tyson Weiss from Four Flights in the audience, and he saw the Icon aircraft fly. Tyson, was it off the water today, or did it just do a high-speed taxi? What was that?
High-speed taxi off the water, low flight over the trees. The
sort of a Howard Hughes kind of thing.
Yeah, pretty much. The most amazing thing about the performance of that plane today was almost a full-speed taxi and 180-degree turn in what seemed like 50 yards.
Really? Yeah. Where was that? Out at the seaplane base?
Over at the seaplane base. Yeah, it's a short drive from here. But I was pretty impressed. There was a huge crowd there today. There was another competitive aircraft vying for attention that was trying to use two scantily clad bikini models to attract, was it four?
Trying to
attract attention to their aircraft. But
you say that like it's a bad thing.
No, I'm
I
all
didn't
for
know
it.
About that. Wow.
But it was an impressive plane, and I look forward to flying one.
Cool.
Yeah, I was out at the seaplane base today, too, right toward the end of the Icon demonstration, and I think there were, for those of you who have been to the seaplane base more than I have, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but it looked like there was maybe four times as many people as I've ever seen at the seaplane base were there for that Icon demo.
How many of you here have ever been to the seaplane base here at Oshkosh?
That's what I was going
to
ask.
All right, let's do this a different way. How many of you have never been to the seaplane base? Terrible. Shame on you. It's a really, really cool place to go. Even if you're not into seaplanes, you ought to go and check out the seaplane base. This year, one of the reasons I like to go to the seaplane base is because in the years when it gets really hot and humid out here on the grounds, it's much more comfortable down there. It's much more idyllic. It's like, you know, by the edge of the lake, and it's got a lot of shade, and it's just a very, very pleasant place to go for an afternoon or a day or whatnot.
The one thing I noticed last year when I went out to the seaplane place, I haven't been this year, but the contrast is striking between the grounds here, which are very crowded, usually very hot. You know, it's lots of things going on, lots of noise. The seaplane base is very serene. Much fewer people. The food is actually really good over there.
Pastoral.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the contrast is striking, and that's what I noticed most about it the first time I went over there.
Yeah. And I think they have a different food service vendor down
there.
They
do, yeah.
So if you're tired of the Zogs, well, you know, go on down there and get a different kind of food. They've changed things around this year. Do they still run the shuttles from down there by the Hangar Cafe? Does anybody know?
Yeah, no, they don't run them from the south end of the grounds anymore. They run the seaplane based shuttles from the bus park this year, but
yeah,
they are
sort
still
of near,
running
near the main entrance.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
Has its own little control.
But you can get a shuttle and have a nice little ride down there and spend a few hours and come on back. It's a really nice place.
Really, the time that you need to go to the seaplane base is when you've gotten enough of the hustle and bustle up here at the grounds that you need to kind of find a bench. And obviously, there's not a whole lot of benches around here, but when you start feeling like you're a little tired, yeah, go down to the seaplane base. It's really serene and relaxing, and they have the best food anywhere around here.